Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Boy, that was good, wasn't it? That worship was awesome this morning. Great job to the team. And I love that really throughout this entire series, Gabby and I haven't had a chance to really catch up on what songs, you know, we're tying into whatever. And I just love it. She just basically preached my sermon before I even got up here. So I'm going to just go ahead and pray it out and we're going to go home. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. Today we're going to talk about victory today. We're going to talk about being born victorious. This is one of my favorite topics that John talks about is how we have overcome. So we're going to talk about overcoming this morning, and I'm really, really excited about that. John, we've been exploring this book of 1 John, and if you're just catching up with us, we have been talking about just a lot of different things. So John, when he writes to his little children, he writes for about 5 different reasons, covering everything from fellowship to sin, to overcoming, to your salvation being to secure, to having joy, all of these different things he's trying to convey to his young church. And now, as we looked at last week, he's talking about love. He's talking about how we love. He's describing so many different things, things that look so different this side of the cross. So before the cross, things looked a certain way, and after the cross, the whole world had just changed. And so here's John explaining. He's describing how you come into the kingdom, and he's saying, look, we'll start with 1 John 1:9. He says, look, you've got to admit that you've missed it, that the way that you're living your life, the way that you're trying to find life is totally missing the mark. It's not working out anyway. And so he says, look, if you will just confess that, if you will admit the fact that there is no life found in your own effort, but only in his, he will cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness, and he'll make you righteous. He'll invite you into the family. You'll be a part of God's family. Like, this is a phrase that I know in the church we probably just get used to it, but you have to hear it for how astounding that is, that you can be a part of God's family, that in that family you will find the fullness of joy. In that family, you'll find that there is no sin, there is no thing to overcome in that way, that he has overcome through us, and you'll find truly that your salvation is secure. Now, last week we talked about love being perfected. We looked at this phrase that talks about love being perfected in us. And I love that this is first seen in God. It's first seen in the way that God loves us. Right, we love because he first loved us. So God shares this love with us. We love in return, and love is perfected or completes a circle or a circuit. Last week, I blinded Josh in the front row trying to demonstrate a circuit, okay, and how power flows. And I love that the power of God, it flows in the same exact way. There is this cyclical nature of it. And so we as believers, I love that we get the opportunity to go love others where we can see love perfected in us, where we get to see the same perfected love everywhere as we love the way that God loves us. And so John spends great detail talking about how there are these two states of being. He's saying it in multiple different ways, but he's saying basically you are in one thing or you're in another. You're either in darkness or you're in light. You're either in sin or you are righteous. You're either one or the other. And he continues to demonstrate that today as we look at overcoming. Now, it's important to understand, John strongly opposed people that were teaching this opposite message. Now, I don't know what that looked like. I don't know what it looked like the disciple of love. I don't know what strongly opposed from the disciple of love looked like. But there are some stories that historians have where we hear John yelling out at different people that were opposing the church in this way, that were bringing, causing breakage of the fellowship. And so I love this picture of John being human. He really, really, this bothered him because he walked with Jesus. He knew him firsthand, and people were misrepresenting him. Now, many of these immature believers, these younger believers, they were believing some of these things that were being taught. And the fellowship was being broken. They were bringing mixture back into certain things. They were fearing again. You'll notice John talk about fear. It's because they were fearing, and we're not supposed to be doing that. But they were, because what they were believing was insecure. So let's take a look at what John taught. 1 John 2:14 through 17. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. I love what John is saying. John is making some powerful claims here. He is saying that God lives in you and you live in God. Again, these are things that you and I, we say on a weekly basis and we can take that for granted. But John is writing to a crowd saying, do you understand the miraculous thing that God has done? He's not gonna go meet you in a temple anymore. No, he's gonna meet you right here. He's in you and you walk with him. This is an incredible, incredible claim. And he's saying, look, don't you realize these people that are telling you to love the world, to enjoy it, to lavish in it, he's saying, look, don't you understand that that's just all the lust of the world. It's the sinful flesh just trying to get a need met that can only be met by faith in the Spirit, by God fulfilling something. So he's saying, look, all of these things are going away. Won't you stop trying to enjoy this reality and instead step into the reality of eternal life where everything is new and everything is the best. It is the absolute best. John continues by saying this in verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. There he is talking to these guys. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught to you, you abide in him. God lives in you. His Spirit lives in you. Let me take a moment to kind of look at something here together. He mentions this word anointing, and I think this is an interesting thing because when I was growing up, this was a very confusing topic to me, okay? There was anointing oil. There were people that got certain anointings. There was anointings for this and anointings for that, and I was very, very confused, and I think that's well within reason because in the new covenant, in this new thing, those things don't exist. There's not an anointing for this, an anointing for that. There is an anointing that comes from within, and it's in all of us. All of us have this thing called the anointing. What it means is the Spirit of God joined with man. It was symbolized before with oil and other things and symbolizing this Spirit of God laying over man or laying on man. Do you understand what John is just saying was revolutionary? He's saying that the Spirit of God now dwells within us. The anointing comes from within. You don't even have need for anyone to teach you. He will teach you. He will do everything. It's incredible to me. Look, let me just make a point. I know there are some that believe that when you go see a worship group and it's incredible, you say to yourself, oh, wow, the anointing was so great here. Can I tell you that what you felt and experienced was the anointing, but it was from within you. This was something that was happening between you and God. And when you go see a great band like that, by the way, what you're really seeing is great musicians. You're seeing great musicianship. You're hearing a great speaker speak. You're hearing great gifts that God gives, and God gives all of us great gifts. But the anointing, this idea that the Spirit of God dwells within you, it's within every single one of us. Why am I making a big deal out of this? Because so many don't believe they're anointed. So many don't believe that they can go share anything because, well, I'm just not a pastor. Well, I'm just not a, you know, God didn't anoint me. No, God did anoint you, and it flows from within, and it flows out of you, and you get to go bring the Spirit to the entire world. Amen. Amen. It is an incredible day. And now the Spirit teaches us all things. And the first thing the Spirit teaches us is that we are overcomers. And I love the way Gabby said it this morning, right? We have overcome. It's not something we're trying to do, not something we hope to do. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going with, maybe you see it in the context of, well, I'm trying to overcome this. But you need to understand something. You have overcome all things from this world. You have overcome them. Because we have been joined not only to his performance, not only to his perfection, not only his promise, but we've also been joined to his power. And I want to talk about the power of God this morning. You have been joined, think about that, to the power of God. It's mind-blowing. This life flow of the vine, it flows out of us from the Spirit who knows him. So we are not of this world. Now let me say something kind of sci-fi for a minute. Many of you know me and you know I love science fiction. But science fiction was actually based off of God, okay, and what God came up with, right? They would have no material if it was not for God. Even the creativity used is from him, all right? So I love science fiction, and I love pushing the boundaries of what we think and what we see, and I love it. But here's the thing, is that it's not sci-fi to say that you and I are a new creation. Those of us who have believed, you have been transformed into something brand new that the world had never seen before Jesus. See, we weren't made into a new type of human, right? It wasn't written down, and now you are a new version of humanity. No, we are something brand new that the world has never seen. We have to see ourselves that way. You are a new creature. Look at 1 John 3. Look at how he describes this. And of course, John, he captures it first by saying how much God loves us. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. See how great this love is, that God saw you, that God thought about you and said, I have to have her in the family. I have to have him in the family. This is amazing to me that God would call us his children. And he continues and he says, look, this great love has exposed something, that he created in us something brand new. Look, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, we know that Jesus spoke a type of life to him and brought him back. But when he spoke to me all those years ago at 19 years old, I was transformed into something eternal, not something that would perish ever again. I was transformed into something that had eternal life. And this hope, this expectation of what is sure that all of us have, you understand when we set our eyes on him, we are purified. We are absolutely made pure as he is pure. And this is the kind of children that would come from God. Now here's the thing, is believers, I believe, have struggled understanding who we are since the beginning. I mean, these same things that John is writing about right now, how many of these things, unfortunately, still apply to us today, right? It's kind of a shame. Right, and that all this time we still haven't quite learned who we are. We still haven't quite figured out who we are, and so we believe some lies. And I want to look at three lies today, just briefly. Now I'm not going to go through these individually. Through the rest of the message, I will answer these three lies, the truth. But these are the three lies that I see that the church needs to stop believing. Number one, the enemy can harm you. Look, I hear this all the time. You know, I hear people say all the time, "Well, the enemy's just right now. He's just." All right, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but the enemy cannot harm you. Number two, that the anointing comes and goes. This is something that is here one day and it's gone the next, and this person's got it and that person doesn't, and it's somehow very ambiguous. Number three, that you aren't as holy as Jesus is. We've got to stop believing that you can be a child of God and look like the apple fell way far from the tree. Like, that's not how it works. A little pun intended, I guess. But no, the idea being is that, no, we are his children. All right, let's look at this power of God. Let's see how this power of God works out of our lives. All right, we know that God doesn't control everything. I know that flies out of our lips, and many of us maybe believe that. I don't believe that God controls or manipulates everything in this world, okay? Instead, I believe what John says right here in 1 John 5:19, when he says, we know that we are of God, okay, establishing the first point, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Look, you know that the devil didn't have to ask God for permission to go tempt Job, right? The whole world already operated under his power. He could go do that. He was taking jabs at God. He was trying to taunt God. And I love what God does is God watches all of this. God still ends up blessing Job, who, by the way, was way in his flesh, way focused on his own stuff, right? He finally realizes he didn't even know who God really was, finally comes to a realization of God, and God blesses his socks off anyway. So, I mean, this is how God works. The devil can't win. God turned the enemy's plans on him and blessed Job. Look at what John says in 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh my goodness, the moment you believed, you overcame. The moment you became a child of God, you overcame. Now the enemy and the world and everything else is going to try to tell you that you haven't. And they're going to try to convince you that you still got to do something and you still got to work at it. But listen, John just said it. My little children, don't fall for it. You have overcome the world. Why? Because he has overcome the world. And therefore you have as well. He continues, look at this, 1 John 4, 4 through 6. You are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So no, the enemy does not get to harm you because you overcame him at birth. You overcame him and all of his plans at rebirth. We have overcome. This is not an ongoing thing. All right, let me demonstrate this in another way, because we don't just do this with one topic. Believers like to do this with a lot of topics. We like to believe that there's a lot of different things that you and I need to do on a daily basis to make sure that we don't fall out of it, get destroyed, any number of things, right? All based off of fear, by the way, okay? So here's one of those examples, the armor of God. All right, maybe you were like me as a kid, okay? I was taught, and maybe you remember, like in Bible's class, they'd have like the little breastplate and the belt and the shoes and the sword. And as a kid, you're like, dude, this is awesome. You know, like I totally want to like have a sword and a shield and go kick some devil butt. Like that sounds great, you know? And so, yeah. And so you start praying, you know, so daily, every day I was told, every day you got to put on your armor. Every day you got to spend some time with the Lord. You got to pray. And look, all of that's great, okay? There's nothing wrong with waking up in the morning and spending time with God. That's actually a really good idea. But the idea of being that the armor's not on, I'm vulnerable today, right? And maybe you've not believed that, but many do. And many believe, whether it's sanctification, whether it's salvation, whether it's abiding, whether it's carrying a cross, whatever it is, we like to think that there is something that we have got to do instead of believing that it all is finished, that he really did finish it and give it to us. Let's take a look at this armor of God, for example. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world's forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, you know how John would have said all of that? We just read it earlier. He would say it this way. Young man, you are strong. The word abides in you, and you have overcome. It's the same exact thing. Paul is saying the same thing that John is saying. They're just saying it in different ways. It's all the same stuff. Look, 1 John 5:18, here's how John says it. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Do you believe the enemy can touch you? Well, John strongly disagrees with you. He says that if you've been born again, the enemy cannot touch you. It's the same thing as what Paul was saying about wearing a full armor of God. It's the same picture. It all has to do with Jesus. We are not struggling against flesh and blood, and we got to remember that. So he gives us these incredible tools. He gives us a belt of truth, right? It keeps us from our pants falling on the ground and looking like fools. You know, we get a nice belt, a belt of truth, right? He is the truth. I love this picture of John 17 of Jesus saying, "Sanctify them in the truth," and that is what we wear. We wear reality around our waist. This is who we are. Then we have a breastplate of righteousness, and we know that this is from him, right? Jeremiah, he's the one that said that the Messiah would be the Lord of righteousness. So we know that this breastplate of righteousness is him, and what does it cover? It covers all of our most valuable organs, right? All of our heart. It covers us. He protects us. He gives us all these different pieces. He gives us a shoes of peace, a gospel of peace. Man, I want to walk up to somebody and say, hey, walk a mile in my shoes, you know? Try these suckers on, man. It's peaceful here. Right? You can experience a gospel of peace, one that doesn't come about by the sword, but one that comes about by love, that a God that stepped out of heaven and did for you what you could never do for him. That is an incredible pair of shoes. Then we have a shield of faith. Man, I love that. I love a shield of faith. I love the idea that it's not a physical shield, that there is a shield that exists as I keep my eyes on Jesus and I walk from what he tells me to go and where to do. As I'm walking with him, there's no arrow that can hit me. There's nothing that can absolutely harm me because I'm so in him. I love this shield. We get a helmet of salvation. Well, where does the battle tend to take place? In our minds. He's given us his mind, and he protects it with his salvation. And he gives us the sword of the Spirit that cuts through every single lie. Look, he abides in us is the point. The point is that all of these things are Jesus. All of these things represent him. And this happened to you and me the moment we died and the moment we were resurrected into new life. Look at this in Galatians 3, 26 through 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, aka you don the armor, aka you abide and he abides in you. It's all the same thing. So here's the thing is that believers, I really think struggle with this concept because so often we spend more time talking about the enemy, talking about his plans and what are we gonna do. And look, you know what the awesome news is? The Bible says that whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Do you understand that you get to walk around and dictate to the devil what's gonna happen? It's not the other way around, folks. Right? Here's John saying, I'm laughing because John's saying, do not love the world. You know, and it's so obvious to me he's not talking to Christians. He's not challenging believers. Don't you dare go out there and love the world. No, he's talking to people that did love the world, right? Believers don't love the world. We see it for what it is. What we have is life. We're walking in the truth. Man, and yet there are so many out there right now that are believers that are wrestling with flesh and blood. I say this out of total love. And maybe you're here this morning and this is you, and I really mean this. I'm not meaning to be offensive. But there's an entire month given where we put something on our foreheads and walk around and say that this is humility, that this is us trying to give up something for God or deny ourselves something for him. Right? We think we're wrestling against flesh and blood, including ourselves. You're not at war with yourself. You're not fighting yourself. Instead, we receive truth from him and we walk in it. So when we're wrestling, we are running into dark forces. We are running into spiritual opposition. And the wonderful news is they are afraid of us. That is the way it goes because of who lives in us. Look, the enemy might run this world, but he doesn't run me. And he doesn't run us because that authority comes from somewhere else. Matthew 28:18, Jesus says this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In him, we have a greater authority than he who is in the world. We overcome because of what he has finished for us. Our lives aren't based here. We're not creatures from here. We are new creatures that speak to the dark forces, that speak to the enemy, that speak to the lies, and we bring truth, and we walk with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's in us. And we walk around with that power, creating in the same way God does. We get to create and watch peace come out of us as conduits of him. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. This is the way Paul would say it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Our weapons are not, this warfare is not of flesh, but the weapons we have are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Do not love the world. In this world, you will have trouble, but what did Jesus say? To take heart, because what? He overcame it. And if I'm abiding in him and he is abiding in me, what in the world am I taking so many hits on the chin for? So many believers, I believe, we take so many hits, we take so many battles, we walk through so many different things, and God is just saying, why won't you speak to it? Why won't you tell it what's up? Why won't you walk in the victory that God has given us? And you can today. There's a story I want to tell that I think ties into this. Maybe you've been there, found yourself in a position where somebody has really, really hurt you, and you've been just really, really devastated. I'm sure if you've lived on this earth long enough, that's probably happened to you. And I found myself in this situation where I was going to be sitting across the table from the person who really, really hurt me. And I was nervous, but not nervous maybe for the reasons you might think. This person was coming in, and look, when you've been hurt, what's the natural reaction? it's going to be to deal out some hurt, okay, because you're hurt. And I didn't want that, because in this moment I recognized that hurt and more pain and giving the person what they deserve, all this stuff doesn't really accomplish anything. I remember someone saying to me, Javen, you have a right to be angry. And I looked at him and I said, cool, what's that worth? Like, what does that right to be angry do for me? Nothing. It makes me sit there angry. And so I'm about to meet with this person, and I sat there for just a moment, and I was nervous. Because I was nervous that I would say something out of anger. I was nervous that I would say something that would only further this hurt and this problem. And so I remember I prayed and I just said, God, I don't want to give the enemy any more credit here. I don't want to give the enemy any more pleasure in this situation. Fellowship had been broken. There's an issue here. And so I said, Lord, would you speak through me? Would you lead this? Would you do? And look, I didn't have any idea what to say. And I sat there, he comes in, he sits down in front of me, and we begin our back and forth, and it was nothing short of miraculous in my opinion. And I don't say that for me or anything. This is not a pat on my back. This is about God. This is about something he did in me that I don't even understand. And so at the very end of our conversation, I sat there looking at this person, and we had kind of said what we needed to say, and I was just honest. I'm a very honest person, and I looked at him and I said, okay, can I be real with you? I want to punch you square in the face. It's just being honest. It wouldn't hurt, but I wanted to hit him. And but I said, you know, Romans 8:6 says that the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. And right now, I don't need more death. Right now, I need some life and peace. So I'm going to do the opposite of what my flesh says. If my flesh says, I want to punch you right in the face, well, the opposite would be a hug. And that stings to even think about. So let's do that. The flesh dates it. Let's do it. So we got up and we hugged. Can I tell you, in this moment, I experienced something spiritual. I experienced something out of this world. In that two people that should have hated each other were now hugging, crying, and I'm telling you, I felt shackles. You could hear these weights hit the ground. And we both sat there crying, and God began to heal our hearts. Look, this is the point today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I can tell you right now, you will have an option to go with door number one, which is just the natural inclination of how this world operates. Or you can be like John and say, don't love this world. Don't love the way it works. Boy, instead, go with the spirit. Go with what God can do. And I'm not saying it's easy for the flesh, by the way. It's never going to be easy on the flesh, but that's a good thing. That's good news. You know you're on the right track when it's screaming. Oh boy, to see what God would do through you. So I don't know what you're facing today. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're fighting some kind of sickness. Oh boy, Peter says that it's by his stripes that we're healed. Do you believe that? Because you can pray that today and watch healing take place. What about your finances? Finances looking a little rough? Well, the Bible says that we don't operate off of our finances. We actually operate off of his riches, which he supplies us, which is pretty awesome. Maybe you're anxious, depressed. Well, he's got peace that passes all understanding. You realize you can tap into that today. You can tap into that anytime because that power lives in you. You're not waiting for it to get there. There are many nights where I'll sit out in the back and stare up at the stars. We've had some real nice nights here lately where you can really see the Big Dipper, and you can see all these different things. I don't know about you, but I'll stare at these things, and it amazes me that something so powerful and so big and so heavy can be so small and up there so high and floating like it just has no issues at all, you know? And these planets are all spinning around, and I guess I'm just kind of this guy, but I stare at this stuff, and I just imagine them spinning, and I imagine everything turning, and I imagine the power of God, not just in the ingenuity and the creativity to make all of that happen. Like, you could put me in a room. I'm a pretty creative person. I could never come up with this. Not just for the creativity, the power of that imagination, but the power of God that holds all that together. And he holds all that together not through like brute force, but he holds it together with a word. He says to a planet, stay, spin, orbit, and it does. And he says it over and over again, and he speaks to it, and he speaks to it, and it continues to do that every single day. And the Bible says that he holds all things together by this speaking, by this word. Now here's the cool part. that power, that same power that holds planets together, that did all this, it lives inside of you. And God doesn't need the bride to create planets. He doesn't need us to go create anything really like that at all. No, instead we get to create by speaking life into situations. I think to all the times in my life, I've probably missed that opportunity. But I can tell you, as the older I'm getting, I'm a whole lot more aware of those moments, and I'm trying to pay attention because those are the best moments in life. It's often the moments when it hurts the most. It's often the times when it's the most painful, the most stressful, the most I don't know where you are, God, kind of moments that I'm now realizing God is saying, I'm in you, speak to it. Tell it to line up with what he's done. Look, this morning, when we worship together, we just sung a bunch of words about being victorious, and it's true. You are victorious. So maybe there's some areas in your thinking, maybe there's some situations that you're going through right now where you would say, wow, maybe I have accepted defeat here. Maybe I have accepted challenge here. Maybe I have accepted that I'm even waging a war here. The truth of the matter is you've already won the war. Walk in that victory and walk in what God produces for us. And there's no fiery arrow that can hit you. Father, we love you so much. You blow our minds. Lord, your power, Lord, I know we can't even fully understand it. But Lord, would you let us experience a piece of that this morning as we worship together? Lord, would you let us feel how joined we are to that power? God, let us experience your love for us. We love you. Will you stand with me and let's worship?